हरिः ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So now, Chaitanya Upanayanam, Natyashastra chapter 13. So verses 195 to 205. Sitting postures. Sitting posture, sthana, for men and women should be made conforming to the different emotional states which they are in. And similar should be their postures while in bed. The different types of sitting postures are, right? So we've done standing, then there's sitting, and then there's lying down. And depending on the emotional state, then they're going to sit, you know, stand, sit, or lie in a particular way. Because the whole idea is that, we always remember, is that why it always puts this point, because they're supposed to project a particular emotional state that then is then picked up by the audience and experienced by the audience. Right? That's the whole idea. The different types of sitting postures are, one, sitting at ease. In sitting at ease, the 2 feet are at rest. Vishkambita, and kept doubled up. Anchita. The trika is slightly raised, and the 2 hands are put on the thighs on the 2 sides. So that means like that. Or on the thighs, or here. Just means you're at ease, you know, here, here. You know, something you're doing. Sitting in a pensive mood. When a person is to assume deep thinking, he is to stretch slightly one of his feet, and the other foot is to rest on the seat, and the head is to be bent to one side. That, yeah. But also 1 foot is out.
Yeah,
one foot is out, okay. Yeah, obviously, you're bent to one side, but also they can be thinking and like that, or like that, the more they can, yeah, whatever. Depends on how long their arms are. It's harder for us because we don't have the arms reaching down to the knees, but if you had the arms reaching down to the knees, then you could do that. Sitting in sorrow. When a person is in grief and uneasiness, he is to put up his hands for supporting the chin, or the head is to rest on the shoulder, and he is to look like one whose mind and sense organs are not working. So there's, because the head goes down, now he can put it in the hands. You know? Yeah, like that or that, you know, just completely. Because this other, it's not comfortable to sit. So when you're thinking, because you're sitting straight, so then those don't work, but these others, then he'll be down. He won't be.
Also, the feet also comes like this much. That's why in temple we are told not to sit like this, because this already indicating in the sorrow mood.
Okay.
But here it's not exclusively described, right, about the feet and all.
Okay.
That's why the sitting at ease posture, that is in one sense, or little bit formal we say, but, and yeah, also it is given.
Well, because for those who are used to it, this is the comfortable pose. I mean, yes, yogis, if you're going to sit there for 10,000 years or 60,000 years, you're going to pick the most comfortable pose. So it's going to be this. So that's why then they're sitting straight and then, you know, they're like this and so on. They're able to do that. Sitting in faint and intoxication. But you do also have the yoga thing, but then they're using a band. You know, they put a band around and hold. Even sometimes you see the laborers do that when they're sitting, like on the trucks and that, or sitting around, because they want to rest, so they'll put the gumption around and tie it so it holds up. So it looks like the yoga sitting posture. But then that, your hands are up here. Like that. sitting in fainting and in intoxication. When a person is unconscious, fainting, or is intoxicated, tired, weakened, or sad from the above posture, he is to stretch his arms loosely and to sit depending on some support. Right? So then he'll be like that. He'll be leaning on something. Yeah, like that. Something. Yeah. Sitting in shame and in sleep, etc. When a person is ill, ashamed, asleep, or in meditation, he is to lump together his limbs between legs and knees. That could also be just everything's right in the middle. Okay. Sitting on ceremonial occasions. In offering a libation of water to the spirits of diseased parents. Diseased or...
Deceased.
Yeah, I think it's... I mean, it's the effect of disease. Yeah, deceased parents. Muttering japa of mantras, saying the sandhya prayers and making achman. One is to assume the sitting posture with the head back raised, in which the hip and heels come together. So that would be where you put your you know, the lotus, like that. You know, or one of those, Ardha Lotus, or any of those ones. Yeah, so then the back will be up even more. Because the other one is easier like this, but the ceremonial will be up more like this.
Even the heels, in the east position, heels need not just come up till here.
Yeah, that can be a little down. Or Sukhasan, or any of these kind of... It's like that. Okay. Seven, sitting in pacifying a beloved woman. In appeasing the anger of beloved woman and pouring ghee into the sacrificial fire and doing similar other acts, person is to put one of his stretched knees on the ground from the sitting posture mentioned above. Mentioned above means from six. Yeah, so you should probably put that. Six, and just like the... And then in four, then put three, you know, from the above posture, three. Yeah, so then one of the stretched knees on the ground.
Just like when you take your
lips, but it says on the ground, stretched knees. Unless it means this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this one, then, you know, because then you can lean forward, you can deal. While this is too back, but this one, then you can deal with so many things. Because then this, all, you see Lord Chaitanya sitting like this a lot. Mm-hmm. Many of the old pictures and that would be sitting like this, that or this one. Yeah. But it's only in older ones you generally see them. Okay, eight. Sitting in worshipping a deity. Sitting posture with two knees on the ground, kneeling down, is to be assumed in an adoring a deity, pacifying the angry superiors, bitterly crying for sorrow, seeing a dead body, the fear of persons of low spirits, the begging of something by lowly persons and servants, and attendance during the homa and the sacrificial work. Ascetics, while practicing austerities, are also to assume the sitting posture. Oh, that would be also then, depending on how you do it, the mood, it would be Vajrasana.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. Do they mention the Sanskrit of the asanas?
No. The Sanskrit of the asanas is mentioned in the translation. He omitted it. I have to go back to the original.
Yeah,
Sanskrit.
I go back and put it back in, because we're more aware of.
Yeah.
It makes more sense to us. Yeah. At least asanas, we have some background.
Yes.
They didn't mention the one about the slouch. You know, when you're sitting on a couch or a big armchair, but your back is on the seat and your head is on the back, and then your feet are, your legs are out, you know, with your knees bent and kind of wide. You know that one? No?
That was in the airports when you had to rest.
Yeah.
When you speak about sitting, he's never sitting in a chair.
No, because here is that Because in the Vedic thing, they generally don't use it unless it's some special thing like the king or things like that. That would be one. And two is then less props. Because people in their homes are sitting on the floor and this and that and so. But it's not that they might not put something there. It might be, you know, depending on how you're doing, like they might go into one of the side stages because they're a little raised and then you sit there or something. Or, you know. But it'll just be, it's just that for most everything that people do, this is how you do it. Like that. So you don't need a chair. You know, the king, many times then there's a chair put. You know, but then somebody brings out the chair and then the king sits and everybody does, and then when you leave, somebody carries the chair out. Verse 206 to 220. Seats for different characters. Okay, so that's sitting, and so that's the seats. Okay, so now here's your seats you were just asking about. It's the next question, right? The next point. Now the rules regarding the seats for males and females in a drama are twofold. Public, bahya, and private, abhyantara. These two terms, public and private, relate to the royalty. Seats for male characters. O brahmanas, gods and kings are to be given the lion seat, i.e. throne. You know, the simhasan, vyasasan, like that. The priests and ministers, the cane seat. So people have elevated themselves these days. Because now it's kind of like the kind of easily available, cheaper stuff is all the cane. The commander of the army and the crown prince, the munda seat. The Brahmins, the wooden seat, and the other princes, the carpet seat. This rule of seat should be observed in the royal court. But also here it seems to be is basically the asan. Right? It's not necessarily that it's a chair.
Yes.
Right? Because the carpet is there.
Yes.
Then the munda or munja grass is also on the floor. The wooden seat means the choki. You know, like, is this here or it's not here? You know, it's like that. And so then, okay, you have the back. And so then that'll be there. So then here is that what was the saying? The Brahmanas, you know, the Brahmins, gods, and the king, the lion seat. But that sometimes just is still low.
Yes.
It just is, it just has the feet on it. So it's a touch higher than others. Right? And then the cane seat, I'm not sure what the cane seat looks like. It means otherwise, unless it's a mat made of cane. Or if it's also a low kind of seat, but it's done with cane, so it's a little flexible. The munda, that'll be on the floor. Wooden seats on the floor. It's a choki, and then the carpet is on the floor. Like, you guys got the... And the other princes, the carpet seat. So you all have the carpet seat. Like that. Seats for female characters. I should now speak of the rule of seats for women. The chief queen should be given the lion seat. The female relatives and high-born wives of the king other than the chief queen, the munda seat. The wives of priests and ministers, the cane seat. Ordinary wives of the king, the seat consisting of cloth, skin, or carpet. The wives of Brahmins and female ascetics, a seat made of wood, pata. You know, means that was the wooden seat, the choki.
Yes.
Like that. The wives of Vaishyas, the seat of pillow, cushion. And for the remaining women, the ground will be the seat. So here we can say seat just means where you sit.
Yes.
So there's the posture and then where you sit. So only the king and the queen, you know, then probably these Brahmins means these great sages and that, the gods, they sit on the lion seat. And everybody else has the other variety of seats. Because then you know who they are.
Yes.
Because the main queens, just like in Dwarka, then for Krishna and his queens, the chief queen, means Rukmini, will sit on the lion seat. And then the other seven wives, they'll sit on the munda seat.
Yes.
Right? Because here it's the commander of the army and the crown priest, the munda seat. And the ministers, the cane seat. So, but the wives of the priests and ministers, they'll get cane seats also. So just like their husbands get. Basically, they get the same like their husbands would be getting.
The king
And the ordinary wives, you know, just the general wives. It's just like that would be then you would probably have
assistants of the main wives.
Ordinary wives of the king. So you can say a skin cloth, a carpet, you know, like that. So that would mean Rohini and the other, what do you call this? 16,100. Then they would all sit on those seats.
The Rohini, Rohini is representing, and she may get a higher position also.
She has a better carpet. Or she has a piece of cloth or skin on top of her carpet. Yeah. But like that, so the idea is then you know who everybody is. Plus, also from here, because it's explained here, then it doesn't necessarily have to be explained somewhere else.
Yes.
Right? Because this is explained here, then this is what you do. So even when they come to the house, then you know that the better seat is given to these kind of people, and the general seat, and this and that, and everybody else sits on the around, you know, so they might have the carpet on the floor for some special guest or the family member like this, and then you just have the rest of the floor for everybody else.
Yes, yes.
You know, is that? Yeah.
But it's a big organization. When there are many guests like that.
Yeah.
Like in any homes, this big carpet's always there, and when any big occasion, they just spread it, and 100 people can fit in it.
Yeah. Before it was like these Persian rugs. You know, now we're used to little sizes just to kind of decorate the floor. But before, they would easily have ones that are this, like this size. You know, it takes like 30 servants to move them around, but they would have them in their houses. You know, and they'll last generations like that.
You don't have, at least your neighbors will have. You
know. Yeah, somebody has, and you go and bring. Or you have a few of them and you put them around like that. So that would be. And even then, depending when it says inside, this is another thing, is that if you see, because this is Rupa Sita, public and private. It didn't make a difference here. Oh, okay. But I can remember seeing in some of the rooms that there would be the, let's say you have a room that's this big, you know, as big as this hall here. So the whole thing will be covered with mattresses, wall-to-wall mattress with white sheets on them. Then on top of that will be placed the Persian rugs. Right? On top of the sheets, on top of the mattress. Then on top of that will be the low furniture, the lion seat and all that, where the king, queen would sit. So the king, queen would sit there, and then everybody else sits around them. This is, you know, this is private quarters. So definitely need a few servants. So when you see that, Devaki got 2,000 maid servants, you think, what does she do with 2,000? How many would it take to change this room?
Yes.
Clean this room, because you got to move the furniture, take up all the rugs, take off the sheets, move the mattresses, clean everything nicely. The mattresses have to be whacked and everything. Put them all back, put all the sheets, you know, but this is, you know, maybe fresh sheets. You know, so that means somebody else is washing the sheets, someone else is doing this, you know, so all these things are going on. That'll take, you know, hundreds of people. And that's one room. You know, or a couple of rooms, they might be able to do it while somebody's doing this, the next ones are doing this, and they do a rotation. But it's a serious management. Okay. While residing in one's own house, one can take any seat according to one's liking. The seats for the ascetic should be according to the rules of the order they are observing. For the members of different sects with special marks, a seat will be according to their vows. So if you have that, you know, that this particular group always sits on this seat, then that would be the one that you would have. So you try to get it proper for their position. Like the Madhvas, this board here, they carry these around with them. This is a bigger one. They generally have a little bit smaller. This one may be sitting in their place, but what they travel with will be a little shorter and more decorated like that. It's just the back. They can be sitting on the floor, but the back will be there. Because when they have that, that means they're the sannyasi. Like that. For the mudras. Like that. And I've seen them. They'll be literally on the floor, but they have the back. Everybody else is just on the floor, so that's how you tell the difference. So there's something how you tell who's who. Even though it's just a very simple thing like that. So in their case, the lion's seat just means the back. While pouring ghee into the sacrificial fire or doing the sacrificial duty in general or offering a libation of water to the departed parents. Not diseased? No, it's good. This one's good. And one is to stand or sit on a vrishi, munda seat or cane seat. What's a vrishi? Okay, yeah, check, because it's nice to know these things. General rules about seats. Local officers, staniya, who are of high birth and possess good great learning, should be honored by the king by offering by an offering of suitable seats. Right? Because, like we remember, high birth, because it means that you're saying local officers, like you may have high birth, those from, you know, good backgrounds and all that, high aristocratic families that do these offices, but you also might have low birth, like we see Ramananda Rai, who was meant, they're low birth, but he was doing all these very, very great, you know, position, and he was greatly learned. Mm-hmm. So here you have the birth, the learning, and the position of authority. Mm-hmm. So Ramananda Rai had two of those.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Like that, because of his learning.
Yes.
That's why he had the position, not because of birth.
Yes.
But so, you know, accordingly, then you'll consider all these different kind of aspects. Yes.
Rishi is Kushagras.
Huh?
Kushagras.
Rishi.
The seat made of Kushagras is called Rishi.
Okay, that's Kusa. So put that. And Munda means the Munda grass.
Yes.
It looks like a Kusa san. Same also. And cane seat?
Cane seat, they just said made of cane, and they showed the modern cane seats.
Right.
People don't know.
Okay.
I tried to see, understand it because it's mentioned more prominently.
A cane is all I can think of. It's just it's the canes, and you're just tied together and all that.
Even this can be called a cane seat.
Yes, that is a cane seat.
Seat of the... So we are already.
Wow, you're sitting not only on the, you got the rug and the cane seat.
So,
okay.
What is the meaning?
Okay, well, let's look back. Okay, the munda seat, that's the grass. Okay, that's a Brahma's wounds. The other prince is the carpet seat. Who sat on the ministers, priests and ministers, the cane seat. So the sitalpati, that makes sense. Then the crown prince will be on the grass mat, you know, but munda grass, not kusa grass. But if they're doing puja or that and that, then they would use the kusa grass. Okay, now it makes some sense. Okay. To his equals, he, i.e. the king, to offer seats equal in height to that of his own. Persons of medium importance, the seats of middling height. And the persons who are superior to him, he should give a more elevated seat. Or the lowly persons to be seated on the ground. Right, so that means this, another, you know, another king or someone of his equal, then he will have the same kind of seat. But now let's say, you know, Nard Muni comes or someone like that, then they'll have a better seat than this.
Yeah.
So they'll have all these different seats. And the point is he can have as fancy a seat as he wants as long as he has a better seat.
Yes.
It's all in connection with him. He's very well, he has big seats, so then he has that biggest seat in the court. Mm-hmm. Then he's going to have the ministers and others on these middling seats, and then there's going to be those on the lower seats.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to have something bigger than that if, you know, somebody greater than him,
yes,
you know, shows up, you know, say a father-in-law, and he's another king, or his father, or, you know, it's like this, or, you know, a bigger great sages or something like that are just so elevated. You know, but otherwise, if they come and they sit at the same level with him, you know, they're you know, great Brahmins and scholars and that's fine, because then they're like the king. But these ones, you have to give something a bit more.
Here he said that some people sit on the ground.
Yes.
It means any ground can be like this.
Yeah, it just means wherever they're sitting, if they're sitting in the palace room, they're just on the floor.
And the low persons, mainly children. Children never have a seat.
Yeah, because you put a seat, they're going to, you know, get them. One, if you could get them to sit on the seat, that would be amazing. And 2 seconds later, half a second later, they'll be up and running around and, you know, harassing the ministers, sitting with their mom, going up, climbing on their father's seat. You know, so it's just, that's what I say. Kids are in their own category. So we see is that all these rules are for adults. And the kids who are the junior, the inferior, they have the least rules. And as you grow up, you have more rules.
You know? And they fill up the gaps like this
kid. Yeah, they just fill out them. Because they go, because they're there for 2 seconds. They see the bird, they run over there. You know, something happens, they go over to the mom. You know, like that. You know, somehow they notice their father, so they go and sit there. You know, like Dhruva Maharaj was climbing up on his father's lap.
Yes.
You know? Like that, so. Before the preceptor, the king, or the spiritual guide guru, wise persons are to sit on the ground or on a wooden seat. Sitting together, the spiritual guide, the preceptor, or the guru in a boat, on an elephant, or in a chariot, or in a large wooden, or on a large wooden seat is allowed. And so, in other words, if it's a regular situation like a room, you know, whatever it is, then they sit on an elevated seat. And everybody else either sits on the wooden seat or the floor. So in this case, let's say the king or other senior people are on the wooden seats, everybody else is on the floor. But you can sit together with the spiritual guide, the preceptor, king in a boat. Because where else do you sit in a boat? Like in a boat, there's a bench to sit on. Everybody can sit on. Doesn't matter the status. On an elephant, you all sit in the, you know, where else do you sit on the elephant? You know, you hang underneath or something. On a chariot, you're also sitting in the same place. So it means in the car. It's not that you sit on, like sometimes you see devotees going to sit on the floor. No, you sit everywhere. No. I'm so, it's just kind of, get over yourself, you know. Start showing off. Sit on the seat. It's a whole, and then you have to serve them and praise them and do this whole thing to get them to sit on the seat when they're supposed to be serving. You know, so in the name of humility, it all becomes about him. Everything stops to get them to sit on the seat and all that because they're so humble, and it's really annoying. You know, because here it said, this is said here. Manu says exactly the same thing. Also, he says, or on a large wooden seats. You know, like that. You just have these big wooden, like a bench. There's nowhere else to sit. You have to see where it is. If you're in this nice place and that, you don't. But let's say you're in a train station or that, you're sitting on a bench. You sit on a bench too. You don't sit on that ground. That, you don't sit. You know, like that. Or on a rock. You know, you're out traveling on parikram or that, and you sit down on a rock. You sit on the set. You don't sit on the ground in the dirt, you know. So one has to understand is that etiquette's applied accordingly to wherever you are. Mm. Yes.
So basically, where the situation, we can give more facility, that's where
That's where then these things are done. Where there is no facility, then it doesn't matter. So Vedic is very practical. But you need to know the thing and know it. Otherwise, it throws it off. Where it's not practical, and then, you know, you're in the airport, they want to sit on the floor. I guess, listen, no, sit on the seat. So many times, sitting there, and everybody sits on the floor. Don't sit on the floor. Sit on the seats. You know? Because the airport, you don't want to touch that floor, you know. Even that your shoes are touching the floor is bad enough, you know. You know, like that. So it's just it's a practical thing where you have the facilities. You're in the court. You're in the home. You're in the, you know, classroom. You're in these kind of places that have. Then you make these gradations. But if you don't, then, you know, and like you said, in your home you sit wherever you like. But when guests come, then you're going to accordingly, then everyone will sit in their places. Verses 221 to 228, lying down postures, yes.
So the liberalist freedom and everything is just limited to their home?
Yes. Yeah, because the point is that there, without it, how do you have culture? How do you know what's what? How do you know if you don't know what the person is? How do you deal? that you're nice with everybody, you deal nice with everybody, but that's there. But at the same time, it's still lacking if the person has some qualification that you're not respecting. So you say, no, we treat everyone equal. But that's a statement of false ego, is that I refuse to treat anybody as superior. I don't treat anyone as inferior, but I don't treat as superior. And I'm an authority in this. So if you say otherwise, I will stand forward and say, no, this is the law. So it's just you're just dealing with false ego here. So the point is no, you're supposed to do these things. You know, like the beginning of the class. What is it? The class is, you know, no one should, you know, everybody is equal in the class. Nobody according to position and all that is recognized. No one should use their position to, you know, try to, you know, make statements or control the class. But at the same time, there's no respect. So how can that be an actual place of learning? You know? So that if you have in your class temple presidents and this, or sannyasis or gurus or GBC, and they're not respected for their position, then you're not dealing with humans. And so what human knowledge can be gained? What practical, real knowledge that you can use? Because otherwise you can gain knowledge, but it doesn't mean you can use it. Like Karna, due to bad behavior, he had all the knowledge of all these amazing weapons. So in one sense, it was kind of like he was Arjuna's equal. You know, that's the whole premise, is that he's like his equal, so then there's always that anxiety. You know, Bhima equals Duryodhana, and Arjuna equals Karna, like this. But then at the same time, is because of his bad behavior, then his guru said, you won't be able to use the knowledge. Mm-hmm. When you need it, you won't be able to use it. So when you don't need it, you can sit around. Like he comes into the... He didn't need to show off his prowess in the assembly when the Kauravas were all showing, you know, their learning, you know, to the other Kshatriyas, their, you know, relatives, the guests, the citizens, so that they're all confident. Yes, the next generation is being trained nicely, so we can have faith that the kings will be doing well. Like that. So he walked into that in an uncultured way. That was not his assembly, just out of false ego. I'm as good as everybody. So that's not what this is not a thing to show off everybody's prowess, we're better than you. This is the thing to show everything so that the citizens can be confident and the seniors, elders can be confident that the next generation will be able to perform their duties properly. But he walks in and, no, I can do everything, and shows everything. So he can do it there, but on the battlefield when push comes to shove, he can't use it because his character is terrible. He gives in charity nicely, that's his strong point. But his attitude, by attitude, he's a sutta. He behaves like a sutta. But he also has this, because his background, the seed, is that of a Kshatriya. You know, so he has that. But then the problem is he's grown up in this thing, so he's envious, he's jealous, he can't tolerate anybody else being better than him, and this and that. And so that's why the Pandavas always call him a Sutta. But they will fight with him on the battlefield, because he is a Kshatriya. But his mentality is a Sutta, so they always deal with him as such. So that's the whole point, is that if you don't make these gradations and these considerations, then there'll be a problem. You know? And especially is, okay, you don't have any rules and everyone sits around and we're not making so much of a problem, but if they do speak, then you pay attention, like that. But at the same time, as if at the opening of the class you make a statement that we're making no distinction with anybody here and no one should expect it. That right there is not a class for human beings. It means literally, it's not for humans. So what to do? Because you learn, you won't be able to use it. It won't be practical. Like that. You have to, the etiquette is there. Lord Chaitanya, that Trinada piece in Ichena, you know, so I'm, you know, humble to everybody. But here it's no one can be. You know? So then it's a problem. Why is he talking so much? Because he has something to say. He has experience. The other people in the room aren't talking because they have no experience. right? They've come to your Bhagavad Gita class, your Bhakti Shastra class, because they've never read Bhagavad Gita. This person has been reading Bhagavad Gita for the last 30 years, but never taken the course. So he has more questions. He has more practical things. They don't know. They don't even have a question at all. So no, you stop speaking. Let them speak. They'll never ask questions. So it's artificial. So you can't do that. Same time as it's also, you don't want anybody by the false ego to dominate or create problem in the class. That should be there. But that can't be, the opening statements that everybody recites before they begin the class, who makes these rules? Who are they? Shastra has its rules. If you have shlokas that tell you that, recite those, great. The shlokas on learning and education, relationship between teacher and student, that's fine. But to make up your own pranamoy rules, and then think it's the same? You can't do that. Okay. Postures in the bed are known as akunchita, sama, prasarita, vivarita, udvahita, and nata. 1. Akunchita, lying down with limbs narrowed down and the two knees sticking to the bed, is called akinchita posture. It is to be used in representing persons attacked with cold. Knees means the back of the knees, not necessarily the front of the knees. Just lying down straight like this and like that. Okay. Sama, lying down with the face. Oh, but this doesn't say. Here it says face upwards and the hands free. And turning downwards is called the sama posture, as if posture is in deep sleep. This is also on the back. So the other one is that, I don't know if that, you can't tell if it's on the front.
Side, I think. On one side you can do this kind of thing. Generally when you have some cold, you sleep on one side and then contract your limbs.
Well, it says limbs narrowed down. In other words, narrowed down may not be the proper translation.
Okay.
Need a better translation. Because that's another thing, if they've got their knees pulled up and not this, and they're kind of like that. That makes sense. Prasarita, lying down with one arm as the pillow and the knees stretched, is called the prasarita posture. It is to be used to represent one enjoying a sleep of happiness. Vivardita, lying down with the face upwards, downwards, is called the vivardita posture. It is to be assumed in representing wound from any weapon, death, vomiting, intoxication, and lunacy. Okay, so this akunchita is not with face down, because otherwise it'd be mentioned. Okay. Udvahita, lying down with the head resting on the hand and making a movement of the knee, is called udvahita posture. It is to be used in sports and on hearing the master's words. This lying down is, but it says the head resting on the hand. That would mean like you're lying down and you have one hand like this, so your head, your head's not on the bed. You're sitting like that, kind of reposing like that, and one knee can move and stuff like that. Nata, lying down with the legs, literally shanks, slightly stretched, and the two hands loosely resting. It's called the nata posture. It's to be used in laziness, fatigue, and distress. Okay. No, nata.
So now he's lying for sleeping, or only for...
No, these are for to bring about. That means that means a couple of them are sleeping.
Sama is the normal.
Sama is normal, then prasarita, then... Yeah, those two are the proper. I can understand this laziness, fatigue, and distress, where you kind of have it's you have your out. You're kind of out like this. Because, you know, when you're really tired, you just lie down. Oh, my God, like that. Yeah, you know, it's like that.
Children do out of distress when they want their thing and the mom doesn't give them.
Yeah, they just fall on the bed. Oh, what?
Even in the shop, Maharaj. When they go to a supermarket, you don't give them. Lie on the
floor. Lie on the floor like that. Yeah, yeah. This is the rule of gait and movements. I was to tell you. I told you, or I have told you, or I was to tell you this, but I didn't tell you this. I only thought this in my mind. And so, okay. Whatever remains unsaid should be devised according to the demand of circumstances. I shall hereafter speak about the division of the stage into zones in connection with going about on it. Right. So basically now we've had how they stand, how they sit, how they lie down, and then and how they move, you know, the foot movements, and then you know, how that is and how it goes with the other aspects and all that. So that aspect of the Abhinaya and all that's been... So basically all the bodily, what was it called?
Angika.
Abhinaya. Angika. All those aspects. Because I haven't talked about makeup or costumes or things like that.
And now you have everything and then you fit into the context of the
stage. Okay, now how it'll fit on the stage. Because it has zones. The stage has zones. And different areas are for different things. Right? Chapter 14, zonal division, right? So there's the North European, there's the European, there's the Middle Eastern, there's the Indian, you know, like that. No?
Depends on
the
weather.
Depends upon. Oh, I see. There's the Northern France, South of France, and then within that there's the Riviera. Okay, that is the more appropriate zonal divisions. Adhyaya Prakashika. Having described gestures through combined movement of limbs in the last three chapters, the current chapter describes the various conventional rules in drama regarding division of stage into different zones, kaksha, or different geographic categories such as the city, the village, the forest, the mountain, the river, etc. The audience should infer these divisions on the stage based on the different indications and gestures involving the type of movement of actors. Like if one place is, let's say, is the river, it's always the river. It's not that somebody else comes in, the river is over there. No, it's always the stage. You're standing in the river.
And then by their gait, how they move, they have them in the show.
They show, yeah. Then you just get to know. So it's always set up. Because nowadays you show from different perspectives and all that. But you need one. Otherwise, how is the audience going to do? Then you know that's the river. And so then everything's based like that. And this is the mountain. And this is this. So then they know.
And also, it's by the act of showing that how you behave in it, you already get the experience. You need not have the external form
yes,
of it.
Yes, yes, yes. You don't. Because that's the idea, is everything's done without props. You know, you can have some hand things or stuff like that. You know, like this, a few mats or something like that. And that's only there so you know who's who.
Yes.
Like that. Like, you know, if you see, okay, these guys are sitting on the sitalpati mats. But these women are also sitting on these sitalpati mats.
Yes.
You know, and okay, and this guy is, you know, just wearing dhoti and chadar and a lot of beads and that. And this guy is wearing, you know, a nice bugalbandi and some fancy turban, like that. And so then you know, on the sitalpati, the priests and the ministers sit. So this guy's, this one, you know, with all the beads is the priest. And this one, you know, the turban is the minister. And then the lady sitting with the priest on the same mat, that's his wife, or, you know, like that. And this one is his wife. You know. So that way then, immediately, just by seeing, you know who's who. Because it's always the same. That's the rule.
You know. Also, I think, Maharaj, experience-wise, if you do like this, then audience can really feel more experienced, because when there is a video, you're already restricted to think and imagine what is shown over there, the picture.
Oh, your brain turns off.
Yeah.
They've done studies that your brain activity while you're watching something like a movie is the same as if you're asleep, though you don't not getting any rest. So.
But in theaters.
Yeah, but theaters, then, you know, everything's active and emotions and all that kind of thing like that. So much more happening. That's why in the movies it has to be so much more extreme to get an emotion. Mm. On the theater, just a little movement, a little something, a little, they can get all these emotions. That's what the whole idea of all the, that combination of all the, you know, the movements, the charis and the hand movements and the facial and all that, with all the vyabhicharis and all the other things, then all that together then gives you an immediate. Yeah. And so the good actors and the, you know, playwrights and the directors, and that they can just immediately get all that to happen. That's very good. The audience should infer these divisions on the stage based on the different indications and gestures involving the type of movement of actors. So they'll get the idea from the actors themselves. Right? The actors, by how they deal, is how they'll know. Either they'll, if they're walking along, suddenly they kind of pick up their dhoti and kind of tiptoe, you know they're going through water. And then they get past that, they put the cloth down and all that. And, you know, so either it's said, someone's talking about, oh, you know, the Ganga is so beautiful and like this and that, or, you know, by how they do, but in some way the actors show what's there. Not somebody comes out and has a big, you know, like a paintbrush and plays like, okay, this is river, this is that. Got it? Like that, you know. Any questions? Like that. Yeah. Also, the conventions regarding relative location, inside, outside, rank of a person, superior, equal, or inferior, distance traveled and walking, long, medium, and small, are explained. Okay. Okay, so inside and outside, those will be explained.
How you indicate them, the rules.
Yes, but also it means people may mention it. Mm. The playwright should mention these things. Mm. The other ones, you can see how they deal. Yes. But you can also be mentioned. And here it's also because you have the plate. But he's walking like that, and then someone, oh, here comes the king. You know, like that. Then you know he's walking that. He must be someone elevated. What elevated person? You
know. Also, it depends. It explains that the superior is walking, then inferior and all, they walk at the back, or two walks at the front. But
yes,
they,
yes,
they
yes.
At their level.
Yes, so all these things together, then you're supposed to get a clear picture. The idea is that it should be clear. This idea of leaving everyone in suspense so they don't even know what's happening is bogus. It might be how the result's going to be obtained, like we were discussing yesterday. That will be unique, and there may be some suspense. But you know the hero will win. But in what he has to go through, to, like, you know Yudhishthira's going to win. But what he has to go through to get there, that's the uniqueness. But it's not that, oh, no, he may or may not win, or like this and that. These are just stupid. Like that. You know, the guy, you know, they think, you know, I do whatever I want. I do according to conventions. I'm not going to be controlled by, you know, the family, this, that, like that. So what? Who are you? And when you're dead, no one will even remember you. You know? Like that. But you do things that, you know, you know what to expect. That's why you can see it again and again, because it's so unique how it goes through. That's the realism. Realism is how he went through, how he obtained that, how he got over the obstacles. Like, what was that? German, like Beowulf, you know, how he defeats and all that. And, you know, or, what's it? Brunhilde. I forgot, there was some prince or somebody who was, Brunhilde was taken away by somebody, it's a German one. And so then he went through fire, he fought with dragons, he did everything to, you know, rescue the princess. You know, so, you know, that he may or may not, you know, he comes in and gets roasted by a dragon. It's kind of like everybody could be very annoyed. Because if he can't get, and he's so good, then what is our position? So if you want to show they don't get, show a bad person, like Duryodhana doesn't get. But if you show the good person doesn't get, then why should anybody do good things? And if that's their purpose, they should not be writing dramas. At least not here. You know, they can, how you say, cross the ocean.
India, anyway, you write such a place, never was a single movie that was clear at the box office, if you write anything like that.
Yeah, if you write that, people just won't go, they just don't like it. You know, because otherwise, what you're going there to be inspired, not to be, you know, it's more sad or angry or this. It's just, that's not, it's just. There's also elaboration on the different styles of dramatical presentation based on pravriti, information regarding costumes, language, and manners of the people located in different regions of the Bharatvarsha. Also, two kinds of play, energetic and delicate, are described based on the prominence of virya and shringara rasas. Okay, so if it's virya prominent, it'll be more energetic. If it's shringara, it'll be more delicate. It doesn't mean that you can't have a little of both, but it's just which one will be prominent, because that's what he said. There's a theme, and that's going to be the theme. So if it's going to be virya, that opening scene, those opening stances, it's got to establish as virya. And then within it, there may be shringara. Or it goes the other way. Also, two types of practices, loka dharmi and natya dharmi, are detailed based on whether the play is a realistic play of common events or involves any modifications which are not commonly observed. Like that. You know, so, yeah. So it's. So here you have, you can be more realistic or things like that, but still it has to have a proper ending. Realism is. Okay, of all the stories, why not take a story of someone who is successful? Why do you need to hear a story of someone who's not successful? Right? And if you say, no, it's more realistic, that means you're not a nice person. You want to see others suffer, and then you'll feel better. If you say, oh, that's realistic, nobody gets. Then it's kind of like, it just leaves it open in. Or you can, there's no ending, so then you just think about it. Like there's some movies where people to this day don't know what the ending is. And they ask the director, they ask the actors, and they say this and that. You know, does it mean this? Well, you could think it's like that. They won't tell you. You know, so that means people aren't happy. They may be happy. See, people are still thinking about it. That's because they're annoyed.
Yeah. Also, when we come to the 28th chapter about the plot, it mentions the five stages of the plot. It's just like our Panchanga Nyaya, exactly the same thing.
Yeah, so you have to open with and conclude with, and then there's going to be, then what's going to come down, then all the different interactions, then you're reconciling it all, then far out.
How the hero goes through, how the main character.
Yeah, of course, but I'm just saying it'll be the same thing. Wow. So that means there's five stages. And does it mention also on that how much of the so it's just those five stages, that may be one act, maybe two acts, or maybe or it may just be the opening.
In one act, two acts, then the middle ones can be removed, but the first one, last one, you can never remove.
Yeah.
In the middle one, you can
you can make it a little more concise. Okay. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 7. Zonal division and its utility. One should fix zones of the stage after knowing the divisions of three kinds of playhouse that have been mentioned before, right? Square, rectangular, and triangular. The zonal division is to be indicated by going about on the stage. When one is in a particular zone of the stage, it will change with his walking out of it. It is from the convention of the zonal division that one is to know whether the place in which the scene has been laid is a house, city, garden, a pleasure resort, a river, a hermitage, a forest, the sea, the earth, etc. Zones should be imagined with reference to a city, a fort, part of a continent or mountain where the action takes place. Indicating relative location. One should assume by convention whether a place is outside or inside a locality or in the middle of it, or away from it, or near it. According to the convention of zonal division, those who have entered the stage earlier should be taken as being inside a house, while those entering it later are known as remaining outside. He who enters the stage with the intention of seeing them, i.e. those entering earlier, should report himself turning to the right. The direction, so that would mean that if they're inside and he comes on the stage, they're still outside. Right? But if he comes in and announces himself and asks like that, then he's understood he's entering. Because that way they could be outside looking in windows, or this scene is going on and this scene is going on, because in the Vedic things you can have two scenes going on at once. They'll have some connection. They're all unfolding because you have the main plot and subplots and all these other things. So it can be something, the details and how it's interwoven. It's like fabric, it's all interwoven. And so then you can have these aspects going on. So then you want to be able to keep that. There has to be. Like the modern thing, you set it up as a room, anybody walks in, they're in the room. But in the Vedic states, it's not. So they've created the environment. And so they've done like this. You know. So even though they may be using the same doors, it doesn't mean the ones are in the house and the others are not. Because you're setting up the mood. But also they won't just sit right there. They'll move over. They'll come in and sit there. The others will come in and go the other way. You know. Does that make sense? So they're in the house, and the other guys can be on the stage right there. They're this far away. Go, I think the house is around here somewhere. And then they'll come, here it is. And then they'll announce themselves. You know, and then like that. You know, then, come in. They'll get up and, come in. You know. So he doesn't have to, open a door and stuff like that. He just, hey, please come, like that. You know, it's just like, you don't have to do, that's the point. You don't need that kind of realism. It's not necessary.
In the movies now, they have to cut the act here, cut the act there, and then you show that person coming in what the other person is thinking. You have to show from the two sides then.
Yeah, no, you have to cut to somewhere else, but here you do it all in one. So all the benefit that they're getting from all the, the cinematography that they and editing, they get on the stage just right there. It's just because it's just a matter of you accept that they're inside and they're outside. That's just the way it is. So you have to know that. The language, because the kids will go, what's that? So they're both there? No, they're inside that until they announce that. Oh, okay. And so like that, they learn. So by the time they're a little bit bigger and all that, then all the kids know how drama works too. So then, and the kids don't care as long. They're only worried about the snacks. So
they're playing, even if they're 4 or 5 year old, they always play like that.
Yeah.
What is inside, what is outside, beating and that. They're actually more easily accustomed.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Because they'll set it up. There's nothing there. There's just a particular point. And if somebody steps over it too much, hey, don't come inside. Oh, okay. Step back. What is it? That leaf. That's the. Oh, okay. Yeah. Then they step behind that. Then they knock on the door. Who's there? Like that. Yeah. They do that. Very far out.
Could seriously engage in a dramatic play in childhood, like for hours together.
Yeah.
Nothing exists, but
no, it's just, and they take anything, play. Anything. Like there's this blanket becomes a major, thing, and they use it for everything. Okay. Okay, the direction which musical instruments and two doors of the tiring room face should always be considered as the east in course of a dramatic performance. Okay. So in other words, the audience is always east. Because the musical instruments are in the back. That means you have the main stage, or here, this way. You have the stage, behind that then there's the a raised platform the instruments sit on, and on the two sides are the two doors, like that. So the you come in this way, that's east. So towards the audience is always east, or towards the Brahma Pita, whatever it is, they always do the thing. But you can also come in on the outer edges of the stage, like that. But when you come through there, then that's always east.
So the main gate of the theater is always east, from the east side you have to enter.
Yeah. But, even if it's just indicated, even if it's not, that's how it's set up. Yes. Just like we set up here, and that's the stage on that side. This side is the audience. Yes. The audience is facing west. The actors are facing east.
Yes. Yes.
So that way, then you can say, to the right, to the left, this and that. And when it says right, that means stage right. Mm-hmm. It means on the stage to your right. Like if I'm there, it'll be my right. The audience is looking at me.
Yes.
But to them, they see us to the left.
Yes.
So people on the right are on the left to the audience. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, tiring room means the dressing room. Because the dressing room is behind the stage. And these are the doors from the dressing room. You can go out the ends and come around, but the normal, those are normal.